Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, good evening. Because of extraordinary events taking place in America, we're on the air live here on WWL, AM, FM, and radio.com. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. My senior producer, Ian Hoke, has come in. He is in the studio. There's also a march going on here in New Orleans, and we are following that as well. President Trump, to say the least, dropped a bombshell this afternoon in his speech. Much of the speech was very compassionate about the loss of life of George Floyd, and kind of vowing to make sure that justice is served so he does not die in vain. This is an extraordinary moment in our history. The COVID-19 pandemic is still going on, but this is a really extraordinary moment. And as a witness of the civil rights movement back in the 60s, as a young person, very young person, I'm a baby boomer, I was appalled at what was going on. I was appalled at the way people were treated. I never understood why blacks and whites were not treated totally equally. Never understood it. And by the way, I don't understand it today. But I'm hoping that this is the flashpoint in time. This is the catalyst to change. We've gone through these things before. We've seen protests. It is a shame that the protests are turning to riots. But do not visit the violence on all of the protesters. And that's easy to do, but don't do it. The president called out Antifa. And it appears as if Antifa is involved in this. There are activists. There are people coming from outside of the major cities where these protests and violence has taken place. And they're instigators. They're there to create problems. They're the ones setting fires. And there are countless stories, and don't miss this, there are countless stories of protesters who are trying to convince others not to vandalize buildings, not to light fires, not to loot. But you can't help but think that the mentality of a person that's going to do that is not going to listen to some nice person who's there for a peaceful protest who says, don't do that. They're not going to listen to them. They're going to do it anyway. The other interesting thing that I've learned is that there is another group perhaps involved in this, and it really is interesting because these are strange bedfellows. The Boogaloo Movement, the Boogaloo Boys. Maybe you haven't heard of them. This is an American far-right extremist movement preparing for what they believe is the coming of another American Civil War, which they call the Boogaloo. They're anti-government, they're anti-law enforcement, they're white supremacist groups. They identify themselves by wearing Hawaiian shirts with military fatigues. Pepe the Frog is a meme they use. And this really did come from a 1984, the name comes from a 1984 cult film, Breaking Two, Electric Boogaloo. And it appears as if they are using this moment side by side with the people they hate because they want to start a race war. So let's distinguish between the violence and the protesters. And we are going to hear President Trump's address. If you missed it, we're going to play that for you. We have Kenny Kuhn, a reporter who is with the marchers. We'll check in with him as soon as we can. I am so grateful for this city of New Orleans because we do this right. We are peaceful protesters. It doesn't mean people don't get riled up and there's yelling and screaming and all that, but we are peaceful protesters. And I want to remind us that after the Saints won the Super Bowl, we poured into the streets, and I was in the French Quarter. And I was so proud of my city because of the way we celebrated. We didn't burn cars. We didn't break windows. We did not loot. None of that really goes with celebrating a team victory or goes with bringing attention to the man who died. But I'm hoping that this is a catalyst, that this is the beginning of change. And we can't just say it, we have to do it. And what do? I don't know, on my radio show on WWL from 1 to 4 in the afternoon, New Orleans time, I'm doing a series this week on the questions that need to be asked, the questions that need to be answered to start an honest conversation about race relations in America. Because if you're white, there are things that you may not appreciate because you don't know. There are things that, as a white person, there are things I'm learning over the last decade of things that have happened. And the death of George Floyd was so horrific, was so unavoidable. That police officer from Minneapolis, Derek Chauvin, with his knee pressed on this man's neck. And by the way, the autopsy has now reported that, and the prosecutor has now determined, this was a murder. You knew it. I knew it. Now it's official. It was a murder. And notice with the one little thing, if you haven't noticed, notice the cavalier look on the face of that police officer. And he had his hand in his pocket. And it was almost as if, by the way, I'm kneeling on top of this guy. By the way, I'm killing this guy. The other thing that I thought of was that here was this man, George Floyd, who was pleading to breathe, and he couldn't breathe. At one point, according to witnesses, he called out to his mama. His mama has passed away before this. His mama wasn't actively in his life. It's not like he could call out to his mama to come get me right now. Come help me right now, mama. He was calling out to his mama because I'm assuming that close to death, one just goes back to the most basic aspects of life. It is said that your life flashes before your eyes when you're dying. I'm alive. I don't know if that happens. But if there is some truth in that, that's what the call to his mama was about. This is the ultimate horrific murder at the hands of a police officer who may be racist. And he killed a black male who was handcuffed and on the ground, and you and I saw it. We saw it all. And shame on the police officers who stood there and did nothing. They're designed, they're sworn to uphold the law and to protect and serve. But they did not protect and serve the rights of George Floyd. They let him die. They were complicit. Maybe the one standing right there, more complicit than the others. That's yet to be figured out. If you would like to join us this evening with a comment, our number is 260-1870. It's area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. Also, President Trump did a lot to push people out of the way for a photo op, and we'll tell you about that. Here's a song from the 60s that relates to what we're dealing with today. It's a special edition of my show. I'm Scoot on WWL, and we're going to continue until 11 o'clock covering this historical moment in our history. We'll be right back on WWL. As a country, we are better than this. And it was so hard for me to watch the news channels and the live coverage of this drama unfolding. And that's what it is. It's a drama. It's a drama that has all the characteristics of any good drama that would be part of a movie. But it's real. And it's happening to us today. And I'm not sure where that's coming from. But we'll find out where that's. I will find. Okay. You know, look, this is a new shift for all of us. I'm Scoot. I usually do 1 to 4 in the afternoon for those of you who don't know me. Senior studio producer Ian Hoke has just come in because this is such an extraordinary time that we felt like we needed to be here with you and give you a chance to react to everything. And right now, let's go to our news director, Dave Cohen, who is going to give us some highlights from the day. One of the big highlights of the day was President Trump speaking in the Rose Garden. Not far from him, there were protesters, and there was some rough treatment of peaceful protesters. We'll get to that. But the president did a very good job of showing great compassion for George Floyd and said he will not have lost his life in vain. But there were some other things that are questionable about what the president is talking about doing. Dave, welcome to our show tonight.
Thanks, Scoot. I'm glad I could join you this evening. It really was an eventful day. It started this morning when George Floyd's family, 1 week after his death, went to the scene where he died. And his brother, Terrence Floyd, led a chant in memory of his brother.
That's his name,
George Floyd.
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 George
Floyd.
George
Floyd.
George
Floyd.
George
Floyd.
And during a very passionate speech that his brother delivered, Terrence Floyd said that the crowd really needs to stop all of the violence.
What are y'all doing? Y'all doing nothing, because that's not going to bring my brother back at all.
And he really was, and I think surprising to some, very, very specific in the fact that he said that looting and vandalizing and setting fires and things like that are actually counter to what his brother would have wanted. And he likened it to going out and partying at night and having a great time and waking up the next morning and going, what have I done? And he really tried to get the message across to those who are demonstrating with violence and with destruction to stop and no longer behave that way.
That's what we're going to get them, because we're going to fool them. They think we're going to do this. They think we're going to do something, and we're going to switch it on them. Let's switch it up, y'all. Let's switch it up. Do this peacefully.
And hopefully, we'll find out tonight, now that darkness has set in Minneapolis and in cities across the country and here in New Orleans, if his call and others' calls to demonstrate peacefully without the destruction, without the violence, will happen. I know that police are on standby, that they are in place in all of the cities. Curfews have been set in many American cities tonight, fearing that things will turn ugly again, Scoot.
And Dave, there seems to be so much evidence that there are peaceful protesters who, when I say peaceful protesters, it doesn't mean that they're not loud. It doesn't mean that they're not angry. It doesn't mean that they're not passionate, but they're peaceful in terms of not committing acts of violence. And there are enough of those who have even tried to stop the antagonist from looting and from committing acts of violence and setting things on fire to make you realize that there are at least two basic factions here in these protests.
Absolutely. And, you know, I found it very interesting, some comments from the mayor of Chicago today, questioning how some said, well, it was just the moment overtaking them. It was the emotion of the raw emotion of the being in the crowd and wanting change and demanding things get better. But she questioned, well, then why bring U-Haul trucks if you didn't plan to loot? She straight out called out those who appear to be trying to capitalize on what is happening to take the opportunity to commit criminal acts. And unfortunately, that just really diminishes the message from those who are trying very hard to affect social change.
Yeah, there's no question that the motivation behind the protest is legit. The violence distracts from the legitimate message. And I thought of this thought last night as I was watching the Adidas store, I think it was in Melrose in L.A., getting looted, and the people are just running out with shoes. And I just thought, I wonder if they're stopping to check to see if it's their size, you know, or if they're just, you know, grabbing shoes. It's just, you know, nobody should support taking something that doesn't belong to you. If somebody had a starving child out in the parking lot and they went into a store and stole food to bring to that child, that's a whole different story. But we're talking about stealing luxury, non-essential items for the purpose of manifesting frustration against society. And this is an entitlement mentality that is part of what's wrong with all of this.
Yeah. And you know, you see people running out with arms loads of shoeboxes or other things, buggies filled with television, so many that they're falling out or that, you know, they're dropping things along the way. And you just wonder what the motivation is for folks who are behaving that way versus those who are legitimately upset, angry, wanting to see things change, who are carrying signs calling for change, who are chanting calling for change, and who are there for the purpose of expressing and utilizing their First Amendment rights to have themselves heard. It really is two very, very different things. And I think the president tried to address some of that in his speech today when he addressed the nation from the Rose Garden.
Our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others. A number of state and local governments have failed to take necessary action to safeguard their residents. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York, viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes. A police precinct has been overrun here in the nation's capital, the Lincoln Memorial, and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African-American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt. Security, not anarchy. Healing, not hatred. Justice, not chaos. This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%. We will succeed. Our country always wins. That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights. Therefore, the following measures are going into effect immediately. First, we are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now. Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you, we will help your business, and we will help your family. America is founded upon the rule of law. It is the foundation of our prosperity, our freedom, and our very way of life. But where there is no law, there is no opportunity. Where there is no justice, there is no liberty. Where there is no safety, there is no future. We must never give in to anger or hatred. If malice or violence reigns, then none of us is free. I take these actions today with firm resolve and with a true and passionate love for our country. By far, our greatest days lie ahead. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to pay my respects to a very, very special place. Thank you very much.
That was President Trump. His address, he did not take any questions. He walked off. And of course, now we know where he went. He went to St. John's Episcopal Church, which is old and historic. It's not far from the White House. And the president went there for a photo op. The photo op included the president standing there holding a Bible. Peaceful protesters were tear gassed and shot with rubber bullets to make way for the president to have a photo op. I agree with so much of what President Trump said in his speech. I love the compassion that he expressed for George Floyd. I love that he said, we have one law and order, and that America will help you We'll help those of you who lost businesses. We'll help those of you who are affected by this and your families. And I love the idea that our greatest days are still ahead. But there are going to be questions about heavily armed troops in our streets. Is it necessary? It may be necessary. I'm not passing judgment here. But how that force is administered is going to tell us a lot. And if you don't know about the Kent State shootings in 1970, this was during a Vietnam War protest. National Guardsmen shot and killed four students who were protesting. These are American soldiers killing Americans. And for these troops and for law enforcement that's in these difficult situations, it has really got to be tough for them. The enemy is the Americans. And many of them don't see the protesters as the enemy. And the enemy hates, in general, is collectively hating law enforcement and the military. When many in law enforcement and many in the military are doing their job, but it doesn't mean that they totally disagree with the reason the protesters are protesting. If you would like to join us with a comment tonight, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our new text number is 260-1870. And we'll get to your text and calls here in just a minute. Rick Springfield, I talked to him on my show about this. Rick Springfield recently did a song called The Wall Will Fall. And he did it along with Vance DeGeneres, who is from New Orleans. It's Alan's brother. And Vance DeGeneres is songwriter, musician, an actor, producer, and he worked with Rick Springfield on this song that it really is an extraordinary song. And it really, oh, we're going to go, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought we were going to break here. You know, this is live. You know, we put this show together literally 15 minutes before we went on the air. So let's go back to our news director, Dave Cohen. Dave?
Yeah, Scoot. I found it interesting that the president, and earlier in the day before he made this address in the Rose Garden, got most of the nation's governors, if not all, on a conference call, and accused many of them of being very weak in their reaction to the protests and not being strong enough to stop them. You heard in the address from the Rose Garden that he is now calling on them to bring out the National Guard to, in his words, dominate the streets. And it'll be interesting to see how many of the governors follow that call, because remember, the National Guard, the governors will have to call them into their own streets in their own states to do that. We have not seen that here in Louisiana, but we have seen, after the peaceful protest this weekend, we saw some more demonstrators show up at New Orleans City Hall tonight, and WWL's Kenny Kuhn was out there as well, and we've asked him to join us this evening. Hey, Kenny.
How you doing, guys?
Kenny, what was the scene like at City Hall, I guess, about 2 hours ago?
Well, I'll tell you, it was certainly not anywhere along the lines of what we've seen in any of the other cities and states. It was extremely peaceful. They were it was a large crowd, about 100 people easily, between 100, 150 possibly. They all gathered in Duncan Plaza. They were holding up signs with messages. They were chanting "No Justice for Peace." They had a number of speakers that spoke on things. For the most part, what happened with the George Floyd, but that I think was the catalyst for a whole all sorts of inequalities that they touched on. Everything from economic inequalities to racial, social, and just it was nothing at all what we've seen in any of the other cities.
Was there any indication at any time that there was any intent by any of the people who were there to cause damage or destruction, or did it seem like they were just there to exercise their First Amendment right to the freedom of speech and to express their thoughts and feelings and fears and beliefs?
No. Well, there was, I'll tell you, as the crowd was marching after they did their rally in Duncan Plaza and were marching down Rampart past the Hard Rock collapse site, they were chanting. They were peaceful. There was a few instigators that were trying to rally some of the trying to instigate the crowd a little bit more. I did see one demonstrator knock over some NOPD police barricades that are lining the Canal Street and Rampart area, no reaction. No reaction from the crowd. No one else jumped in and started instigating and ramping up the violence or knocking over other things, and it didn't devolve into that at all. They just continued marching straight along and holding their signs and chanting their message.
Scoot, you're not far from there. Were you able to see or hear any of those crowds as they made their way from City Hall into the CBD, into the Canal Street area?
I did not hear them tonight, but I heard a little bit last night. Off in the distance, I could hear not chants per se, but just, you know, loud enough talking to know that there was an organization, a group of people organizing and obviously trying to loudly express a message. But again, it seemed peaceful, and it eventually faded.
And Kenny, that was the case tonight too. After they walked down to Canal Street and past the Hard Rock site, did everyone just kind of seem to go their own separate ways?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Once they got to a far enough distance, I guess, to the final end of it, it was more like a parade route, really. And they just kind of just dispersed and applauded, and you know, no violence or anything like that. There was a police presence that was there. They were, for the most part, doing crowd control or traffic control, rather, blocking off the streets for the crowds. They had their lights on and sirens. Despite a lot of some of the chants that I can't repeat on the air directed towards police, the police were still there, just keeping the peace, really. And for the most part, it was overall a very message-driven, peaceful demonstration.
And we know you got some video and some pictures of that you'll be posting to our website at WWL.com. Scoot, we appreciate your letting us join you to kind of paint this picture of what's been happening today and this evening here and elsewhere. And I know you want to take some time to let our listeners sound off and share their thoughts and feelings. So thank you for having us on the program.
Dave, thank you. And Kenny, do you remember some of the chants, Kenny, that they were chanting? Well, some of you said you can't tell.
Yeah, of course. But besides those, no justice, no peace was one of them. Another was, what's his name? George Floyd was the reply. For the most part, that's what it was. And then, you know, of course, assortment of others.
Okay. All right, Kenny Kuhn from our WWL newsroom. Thank you for your work being on location there at City Hall protest. It apparently started and ended very peacefully, which is such a signature of New Orleans, and I'm proud of the city for this. And Dave Cohen, our news director, thank you for walking us through those sound bites of Terrence Floyd, the brother of George Floyd, who showed up at the site where his brother lost his life, and also leading us into the president's press conference. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Scoop.
All right. If you would like to join us with a comment this evening, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. Our text is 260-1870. New text number, 260-1870, same as our phone number. So let's go to break with this song from Rick Springfield that he just did, and it was all done on location because of the coronavirus. This song was really about coronavirus. And the song is titled, The Wall Will Fall. The wall is that which separates us. The plexiglass. The social distancing. But in light of what is happening, the song is applicable to the tensions that have erupted following the death of George Floyd. And I think we can hear the song and think of the wall as the wall that still exists between the races, the wall that we have to figure out a way to tear down. And ultimately, I have confidence that we will work it out. I'm Scoot, and let's go to Algiers. And Betty, welcome to our show this evening.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm good, Betty.
I was calling about my son. His name was Kenneth Aiken Jr. He was shot 14 times, 11 times by one officer with an assault rifle. He had one hand in surrender position, shot in that hand, in the palm of his hand. An informant set my child up. He was going to surprise me with letting me know that he went to go enroll in community college. And it took him 5 hours to come. They didn't have a briefing at the station, like if they was investigating him or had been watching him. They had the informant to do everything. They let the informant give them false information on the 408 in Orlando, Florida. Okay? And they had the informant let them go to a Save Right. That's on the east side of Orlando. And it's a place, it was a store, like Walmart parking lot. Lots of innocent people could have got killed if my son would have done anything. The undercover police stated that my son's hands never left the steering wheel. Everything was transpired from the informant. Okay? Now, when we went to court, my son was shot 11 times with an assault rifle. He's pulled his SUV in the front of my son's car. You leave your safety haven to come to the windshield. And he said he looked my son eye to eye. He didn't see a gun. He had no drugs because it was supposed to have been a drug-buy thing. But everything was transpired, and all of the information was given from the informant to the Orange County police. They shot my son down like if he was a wild animal, 11 times with an assault rifle.
What was the outcome of the investigation?
When I went on the reports, whoever was in charge, he was dispatched on the radio, and I have it in highlight of the police report. Let him go. Stand down. Let him go. Officer Mahoney, who shot him with the assault rifle 11 times, he stated, I need the take. He stood and he said, he looked my son eye to eye. And one hand in surrender position, and he shot him in that hand, and he seen my son's hand on his side. Before the informant exit the car, he stabbed him in the side. The attorney sent me all of the surveillance, like from Skyview, and my son is laying on the ground, handcuffed. So you didn't try to resuscitate him. You let him bled out. They shot him all in the groin, and the colonel stated at court that it was a laceration in the pictures of all of his property. That same knife that my husband told me, Kenny was stabbed before the policeman shot him. The informant stabbed him in the side. That explains why his right hand was on his side holding the cut and his left hand was in surrender position. And he still, one officer said, I opened fire one time. I never seen nothing. And I backed off, and Mahoney was told to stand
so
down.
Where does this stand now? Betty, where does this stand
okay.
now?
Okay, this is how they did it. And I thank God for you hearing me. They took, and the judge told me, if I show any emotion or drop one tear, he was going to dismiss my case. They had a jury who was not supposed to be up there, so I filed an appeal for a new trial. And by the grace of God that I serve, they granted me a new trial. So I'm basically waiting, but these policemen are still there. After the trial, they followed me everywhere. When it first happened, they had policemen follow me as soon as I pull out my parking lot in my driveway in New Orleans.
Why do you think they followed you?
Oh, I know they was following me. Called the lawyer. Because they also took with their daddy in immigration for 2 years, a week after I buried my son, he didn't even have time to grieve. They took my other son. He's in jail, all behind retaliation. They kicked my my daughter door in. My youngest son, who's still in Orlando with his father, he said an unmarked car shot at him, and he jumped into the canal. This was right after my son killing. When I got to Orlando, my son's body was at the coroner office, and he talked to me from the dead. And people don't believe it happens. We was looking for a place to go sell his car to get money for to bury him, and it was a chop shop. And my daughter said, "Mama, back up. That's the car my brother was in." So I talked to the people at the chop shop where they smash cars.
Right.
And the man, I told the man what happened. He said, "Well, we're not touching this car." He said, "They bought this car to us and told us to destroy it." Now, well, they still have my son's property. Haven't even released it. At least give me my son's property. I can bury it here.
It seems
my
to me.
My son is buried in Orlando.
It seems to me that this is a case that maybe we didn't hear about in the news, but it's a reminder that there are other cases like this.
Right. And this was before Trayvon Martin, sir.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you taking time out. They put a gag order. Yeah. I went to the news media in Florida. No one wants, after I told him my son's name, no one wants to talk to me.
Betty, I have to get to a news break here. I'm sorry for your loss. I appreciate you telling the story. And it really is part of a bigger narrative in America that change is necessary. And I hope it changes now. And again, I'm sorry for your loss, and I appreciate you calling our show. If you do want to join us with a comment, I'm Scoot. We'll be on until 11 o'clock tonight. 260-1870, and our text number is 260-1870. We'll be back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.